And it was this government which was ruling Korea when the outbreak occurred. I should point out also that in the month of May, 1 month preceding the communist invasion, the South Koreans had held their second election under the Constitution, the newly adopted Constitution. Better than 80% of the population voted. A good many of the candidates who were actively supporting President Syngman Rhee were defeated, and it seemed clear that there would be some reforms of the Korean Constitution. Among them, a reform which would provide that Parliament could remove members of the President's cabinet if they proved unsatisfactory to them. They did not have that power under the Constitution as it stood at the time of this election. Incidentally, I have heard since I came back statements of the sort that one of the weaknesses of the South Korean government was that it did nothing about land reform. I am sorry that I did not have an opportunity to investigate that topic, but I can say this. In one of my interviews at Chosen Christian University, in discussing their finances with them, I was told that they had a great deal of their money invested in land, but that under the land reform of the Republic of Korea, that is, of South Korea, they would lose this investment in a five-year period. That is, that the land reform provided that they could receive the revenue from this land for the next 5 years, but that at the end of that five-year period, they would lose both the capital investment in the land and the revenue from it as part of a land reform program which was designed to get land into the hands of the poor farmers. There was evidently, therefore, a land reform program in active operation. Now, when the South Koreans found themselves cut off from fertilizer and hydroelectric power, impoverished as they were because the Japanese had controlled and operated the businesses, and inexperienced in the management of them, their situation was extremely difficult. We were doing a tremendous job of assisting them in improving that situation. The Economic Cooperation Administration was actively at work. We put some power ships in two or three of the harbors where power was generated and pumped into the electric lines, and thus the lack of power from North Korea was made up. In the meanwhile, plans were underway for the construction of a huge hydroelectric plant in South Korea, which would have added great strength to that part of the country. In addition, we imported fertilizer and made it available to the South Korean farmers in order that they might maintain their agricultural production. One of the chief Korean crops is rice, and a surplus of rice is exported to Japan and provides the means by which the Koreans were able to pay for imports which they desperately needed in the rebuilding of their country. We had also several educational missions in Korea. We had, for example, the Korea Technical Institute, which was organized in contract with the State Department by the Illinois Institute of Technology. Korea Technical Institute was to give the technical training to Korean leaders and workers in industries, agriculture, and fisheries, which would enable them to bridge the gap between their inexperience when the Japanese left and the experience which they needed in the proper operation of the economy of their country. For example, I was at Busan only a week before the communists invaded and sat in on a conference at the College of Fisheries in which plans were made for 2 3-month short courses for fisheries workers in which United States personnel were to assist. and there were many other similar programs designed to assist the South Koreans in getting onto their feet. As a matter of fact, some of these programs had already begun to show such results that the price of rice, a basic commodity for the Koreans, was already falling, and the won, that's W-O-N, the Korean currency, was already showing greater strength. Is it possible that the Russians, seeing that the South Korean economy was improving, and therefore that the hope of subverting the South Koreans was going fast, is it possible that they nudged the North Koreans and suggested that they had better invade? Personally, I think that is the explanation. That is, the North Koreans, eager to see their country united, and then needled by the Russians into invading, stepped forward. Their communist leaders convinced that unless they did at this time, South Korea would be soon so effectively on its feet again that any hope of communizing it would be gone. Now, what about this situation in South Korea? When I came back, I was very much amazed to find the many newspapers and many political leaders referring to what had happened in Korea as a tremendous diplomatic defeat for the United States. Frankly, those of us who had been in Korea and those of us who observed the situation in Japan for a month or more later before we came home had the feeling that this was the greatest diplomatic triumph which the United States had ever experienced. Why do I say that? I say it for this reason, that we had so conducted ourselves in our relations with the Republic of Korea that the United Nations on Korea was able to say immediately when the North Korean army invaded that it was clear that there had been no provocation from South Korea. It was clear that it was completely untrue, as the communists alleged, that the South Koreans had invaded North Korea. It was clear that the guilt fell completely on the North Koreans. Of course, the Commission did not say what should have been added, that the guilt fell completely on the shoulders of Russia, since the North Korean communist leaders were, of course, only stooges for the Russians. But the result of this thing was that within an incredibly short period of time after the communist invasion, the entire civilized world, acting through the United Nations, declared that North Korea was the aggressor, that its action was indefensible, and it called upon the civilized nations of the world to come to the support of the Republic of Korea in throwing back the communist invaders. Now, speedy action of that sort does not come by accident. It was the result of the policy which we had followed as a nation. And that policy triumphed when we received the United Nations support. It had looked for a long time before that as though Russia might succeed in embroiling us in war with some part of the world, some one of her satellites, or with Russia herself, under circumstances which would lead the rest of the world to say, well, if the United States is so interested in having trouble, let them fight it out alone. They'll get no help from us. But in this situation, the entire world said, South Korea is right, North Korea and her Russian backers are wrong. Support should be given to the South Korean Republic so that when we made our decision to help the South Korean Republic, we had almost at once the moral support of the world behind us. And we have since been getting more and more of the material support of the world. It is, in my judgment, a tremendous diplomatic triumph for the United States. And in my judgment, further, it is not an accident that it happened that way. It was planned that way. There were some 50-odd Koreans, mature, competent men and women in the United States studying on scholarships when the invasion broke out. I know that they are restless to get back into the service of their country. And when the war is over and peace is restored, there should be acceleration of the program, which would give the leaders of thought in all areas in Korean life an opportunity to prepare themselves for more effective service to their country. But as we watch the situation there, let's remember, and I make this my concluding statement, that what has happened in Korea, tragic as it is, has nevertheless represented a diplomatic victory and a military victory for the United States.